Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Jennifer Richmond and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. And if you are just seeing this video pop up on your Facebook page, hello. Pardon me while I cough into your speakers there. This is a Bible study that I lead weekdays for the La Mirada Christian Church. It's called Dwelling Richly, and that's literally and exactly what we do. We try to dwell richly in the Word of God. And right now we're in a study through Esther called Faithful and Fearless. And so today you're catching us in, a little cough attack coming on. Today we are in lesson five. This is day three. And we're going to be in Esther, continuing on in Esther chapter 4. Grab your Bible, join us. And those of you who are planning on being here, welcome. Glad you're here. Grab your Bible and join us too. I'm going to get a drink of water. Hold on. All right. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you say hi. Leave me a little note and comment today. Tell me you're here. If you're listening on Facebook, same thing. Click a little thumbs up, a little smiley face. Let me know that you're here. If you're listening on YouTube, same dealio. Hit that subscribe button, hit that alarm, get notifications whenever I drop a new video in, and leave me a comment and say hi. Don't just be a stranger. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started on today's Bible study. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for our time in your word. I ask that you would go before us now. Bless those who are listening in today and into your word and curious and learning and loving it. Thank you for our time together right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, or hallelujah, amen. Good job. All right. So let me hop over and share the screen with you so you can see the Bible study. This is available, as many of you I think know, at jennifergrichmond.com. And you can get the Bible study. Just click it, open it, study it, and love it, and share it. Do all those good things. All right. So today we are in lesson five, like I said, day three. And we will be reading Psalm 42 to begin with, because Psalm 42 is the verses that we're memorizing, which will be verses 9 through 10 for this week, and that goes along with all of the memorization we have been doing through Psalm 42. Let me go ahead and read that with you right now. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Well, take a minute to make sure you write that into the box there and get in the habit of doing that. And today we are reading and writing Esther chapter 4. Oh, I did not write the word right there. It should say write. We are writing and reading Esther 4, 10 through 17. That reminds me, you should have written Esther 4, 10 through 17 from the previous day, or Esther 4, 1 through 9 from the previous day. Oh, I wonder if I included the word write. I just forgot it on that day. Did I forget it? Anyway, we're writing. Don't forget to do your writing. Silly me. Like I said, I really need a secretary. I need to fire my secretary, me, and hire a good one. Anyway, it'll remind me about words like this. All right, so we're going to be reading and writing. I've provided pages for you at the end of the lesson that are blank, and you could just write out Esther as you go. And we're just writing verses 10 through 17 of chapter 4 right now. So let's go ahead and read those, 10 through 17. Picking up where we left off yesterday, Hathach goes back and tells Esther what Mordecai says. Here we go. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that if a man or a woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one for whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day. I and my young woman will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him.
Wow. Wow. Drama today.
All right, here we go. So what reality of her circumstance does Esther mention twice? She mentioned twice in this passage in verse 11, and then she mentions it again in verse 16, the law. She mentions the law. Let's take a look over there at that passage, verse 11 and 16. In 11, she says, all the king's provinces know that if any man or woman go inside the court, there is but one law. There is but one law. And then she says it again. Mordecai then went away and did everything. Nope. That's not it. Go and gather the Jews, hold fast. Yes, then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. All right, so twice she mentions this law. Keep this in mind as you continue now on with today's study. All right, so Hathach has relayed Mordecai's message, summarize that message right there. So go to the king, beg for favor on behalf of her people. Go, beg, and plead, right? How is Mordecai's message in direct conflict with what he had previously commanded her to do? Remember back in chapter 2, verse 10, I'll go ahead and just read it here. Esther had not made known her people or kindred, for Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. Don't make your identity known as a Jew. All right, Esther commands Hathach to go back with what message? Go ahead and summarize that message right there. She says, basically, if I go before the king without being called, I could get put to death unless he holds out a scepter. And then she makes sure to communicate that she hasn't been called for 30 days. So it's not like I've been there every day and he'll just think it's like a regular day. It's been 30 days. So me showing up is going to be a big deal. Like, this is going to get noticed if I just show up in the palace here. All right. So why do you think Esther replied this way? All the king's servants and people in all provinces. She makes this big point of saying this. All the king's services and all the people in all the provinces. Really big, right? Reminding Mordecai, I think, of her situation that she may have fallen out of favor with the king, maybe. In other words, it's been 30 days and she hasn't been in there. Who knows who's been in there? But everyone else will know. How could he not know this, right? So think about Mordecai's actual response, and then think about how he might have responded in light of Esther's reminder of her situation. So Mordecai might have said this, but Mordecai instead says that. And this is something I want you to gain and use a skill in terms of how you approach the word. What does actually happen? And what are all the possibilities of things that you could think of that could have happened? Well, she lays out a very risky scenario. And it's not just, I could get banished like Vashti does. This is like this flip, this reversal. Vashti refuses to come when she's called, and Esther is being told to come when she hasn't been called. Do you see it? Do you see this parallel between the two? So Mordecai, hearing that her life is in jeopardy, he could have said, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Wow, we got to figure out another plan then. This is too risky. You're my only child. This is too much. I'm not going to have you go before the king. Too much to risk. But what does he say? He doesn't say that. What does he say? Don't think you're going to be special. this is no like snowflake father here, raising a little snowflake. Oh, my baby, right? No. Don't think you're going to be special. This is a reality check. If you keep silent, relief and deliverance is going to come from another place. It's going to rise from another. And you and your father's house, in other words, who's his father? Her father, and then him as well, the whole house, they will perish. And then he adds this to it. you're here potentially for such a time as this. This is your big moment. You thought your big moment was getting crowned queen. You thought your big moment was being pampered in the spa. You thought your big moment was being picked above all those other girls. That was a pretty big moment. Getting crowned queen, pretty big moment. But that's not why you're here. Perhaps you were born for such a time as, I mean, placed in this palace for such a time as this. This is the moment. How do you think Mordecai had this kind of wisdom? Where did that wisdom come from? Where did that foresight come from? How do you think he had that? What kind of guy is Mordecai that he even has this kind of wisdom or foresight? Be curious to hear what your thoughts are on that. You can take a moment to pause listening to this and jot your thoughts down there. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'll save that for later. All right, unpause. What kind of emotional impact do you think Mordecai's words had on Esther? Think about that. So I think sometimes we read through passages and we don't consider that. We see what's happened and we kind of already know what's going to happen. But I want you to erase what you think what you know is going to happen because you know the end of the book. I want you to think in that moment, how do you think this would have impacted Esther to hear these kinds of words? Don't think you're going to be spared. Your entire family is going to get killed. And deliverance will come from elsewhere. And maybe this is exactly why you're in this palace. Emotionally, how do you think that felt with her? Is she gasping? Is she panicking? Is she resigned? Is she scared? Is she excited? Is she challenged? What do you think she feels going forward in this moment? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that as well. Be sure to share them. I mean, it's one thing when I get to hear from you at the Bible study, but I don't always really get to hear from all of you. I get to hear from a select few women from the Bible study as I meet with them before they meet with you, my Bible study leaders, right? I don't get to hear from a lot of you guys out there. Tell me what you think. I want to hear. All right. So what did Esther tell Mordecai to do? And let's take a look back at chapter 4, verse 16. I'll just read it out of my Bible here. Chapter 4, verse 16, you turn with yours. Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And so gather all the Jews and fast for 3 days. And on whose behalf is she requesting them to fast? What does it say? Gather all the Jews, hold a fast on my behalf. Hold a fast for her. Fast for her. Think about her, what she's going through in this moment. What was Esther personally committed to doing? What about her commitment? She's asking everyone to fast. She's going to fast herself. What is she personally committed to doing in this moment here? Well, she's going to be fasting too. And not only her, it says, and I and my young women will fast also as you do. I'm going to fast too. And I'm going to get all my young women, everyone who attends to me, everyone who's in this with me, we're going to all fast. All right. So what will Esther do after this fasting? Well, what she'll do, she's going to go to the king. She says, then I will go to the king in spite of it being against the law, though it is against the law. Remember, it's mentioned twice. And what is the possible outcome that she accepts? Death. Short and sweet, death. If I perish. She's resigned to the potential of her fate. So how does Mordecai respond to Esther's reply? And so Mordecai, verse 17, Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. He has to go away. He has to go away. He has to go tell the people, we're going to fast. My daughter's up there. Do you think? Nobody knew that. I mean, maybe a few local people knew. A few people might have known. Really, did anyone outside of that small area, did they all know, oh my gosh, that's Mordecai. She's a Jew. She's up in the palace. No, I don't think so. All right. So notice the wording here. Esther does not give him a simple reply, but what does it say there? I'd like you to see and in multiple translations. So we're going to hop over to Bible Gateway, and we're going to read this out of a few. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Everything as Esther had commanded, and then again in the New Living Translation, ordered. So from each and every one of these, we have the strength of her wording. It is a direct command. The strength of this is best, I believe, out of the ESV, NASB, the King James, and the Christian Standard, or the CSB. They all keep that strength of that original word in Hebrew, which is siweta. All right. So interesting when you think of it that way. All right. The reflect on the word today is a DIY. In all of the times that I've written these Bible studies, I have never one time set up a DIY reflect on the word. I've always either written them or just consolidated them into two and didn't have a follow-up one for you. But this one, I just felt like I wanted you guys to do a little thinking on your own. So here is your reflect on the word. You're going to write it this time. Esther's decision, chapter 4, verse 16, will break the law. Do you think you'd be willing to commit civil disobedience like Esther? Why or why not? If so, what law would you be willing to break? Let's hear it. This is civil disobedience, and there has been hot debate in the Christian world about if we even should break laws. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God's. Christ says, does that apply here? Is that what this is talking about? Is she going against God's law that we should obey the laws of the land? I mean, Jeremiah 29, go back and reread that. We read that last time. Give me your thoughts on this. Take a moment to share it. I want to hear from you. And let me know what you think about that. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear what you have to say. I don't get to hear from all of you when we go back to Bible study, but I can if you type it up right here and send it off to me. I love it when I get the little alert from YouTube that somebody left a comment. I get a little email and it says somebody left a comment. Yay, I get to come back and engage with you. So do that. I'll enjoy and look forward to hearing what you have to say. All right, that'll do it for today. As always, know that you are loved and prayed for. And I look forward to being with you again in our next Bible study. Bye-bye for now.